kill that pulpit mic, Brother James. Thank you. Take your Bible this morning. Turn with me to Psalms chapter 119. Psalms chapter 119. Let me find some glasses down here where I can see a little bit. Amen. I'm glad I've been justified. Break that. One preacher said, break that word down, and it says, just if I'd never sinned. Amen. Thank God. Psalms 119. Y'all doing all right this morning? Amen. If you know any much about your Bible, you know Psalms 119 has more to say about the Word of God than any other chapter in the Bible. Amen. And we ought to make much about this book. Amen. Somebody said one time, they commented about our church, they didn't say it to me, and said they talk about the Bible too much. I thought, well, what a compliment, amen. Thank God. I'd rather have a church that talks about the Bible too much than one that never talks about the Bible, amen. People have seemingly forgotten what church is all about. It's about keeping men and women, boys and girls, out of a horrible place called hell. Our job as a church is to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And you cannot preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ without this book. Amen. Psalms 119, we're going to look at some scriptures this morning, but I want to preach to you. I was coming home last night. I went to a horse sale, of all things, and was there all day long and seemed like half the night. And the Lord just gave me this thought coming down the road. Me and Brother Chris, the guy who went with me, we were talking about issues and things that people were dealing with in their lives. And I thought about, you know, I've got a cure for everything that everybody's dealing with. And I want to preach to you this morning four things that'll cure just about anything. Four things that'll cure just about anything. Psalms 119, look with me at verse number 11. Listen, it's not very complicated. It's not very complicated. You walk into a Christian bookstore and they make Christianity look so complicated and so confusing. They've got books by different authors. This author thinks this. This author thinks that. And if you start reading all those books, you don't know what to believe. I'm not against aids. I'm not against help in learning. I've got a library full of books at my house, and I use them. I'm not against that. But listen, nothing should ever take place of the Word of God. Jesus made it so simple that even a little child could understand it. Listen here, the first step to getting help is getting saved. Amen. I mean, what is it? Realize you're a sinner, for all have sinned come short of the glory of God. Realize that there is a Savior who died for your sins. Accept what He did at Calvary for you. Amen. Trust Him as your Savior. And then just follow His Word. God has the answer for everything you need right here in this book. It's not that complicated. It's not that complicated. I'm afraid we tend to overthink things. Are you listening? I'm afraid we get these preachers that get up and tell you about these Greek words and all that stuff. We don't do that garbage around here. I don't think there's anybody in the room this morning that speaks Greek. Amen. I went to a Greek restaurant, couldn't even read the menu. Amen. Amen. We're English speaking, so God gave us an English book. Amen. Let me give you four things right quick, and I got to go to the funeral, so I'm going to be fast this morning. Let me give you four things right quick that'll cure just about anything. Psalms 119, verse number 11. Psalms 119 and verse number 11. The psalmist said, Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. Number one, cure. That'll cure just about anything. Read your Bible. This is going to be so simple. If you don't listen careful, you're going to miss it. Read your Bible. Somebody said, well, I study the Bible. Study's fine, but just read it. Just read it. I remember when I was a little boy, I'll never forget the first book that I read from the beginning to the end, the first novel or whatever you want to call it, I read Old Yeller. Anybody ever read Old Yeller? I read Old Yeller, and I've watched Old Yeller 100 times and cried every time that dog dies. Amen. But I remember when I got that book, I opened the book, and I started at the front. And I read it to the end. Are you listening? I'm just trying to tell you this morning, read your Bible. I mean, I'm telling you, this book will do things to you and you don't even realize it's happening. You say, preacher, I'm struggling, I'm having a hard time, I'm having marital issues, I'm having trouble with my children, I'm having trouble with my finances, trouble on the job, blah, 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 blah. Get you an old black back King James Bible, open that thing, honey, and just start reading. Amen. And it may not seem like it's doing a bit of good. Amen. Amen. But sooner or later, you'll see the problems. God will start shedding light through this book on what it is that's giving you trouble. Just read your Bible. Somebody said, you're not right with God if you don't read your Bible through every year. I don't preach that. I don't believe that. Yeah. Yeah. Amen? Amen. Me and Chris stopped on the way home last night. We stopped at Arby's, and I got one of them three cheese bacon, well, I don't know what you call it, heart attack in a box, I guess. And we'd been in that horse cell all day, and I was starving to death, and that lady said, you want small, medium, or large? I said, give me all you got. And I sat there and I ate. I mean, them curly fries come in a box that big. I mean, it was a pile. I piled them up on the plate, put some salt on them. I ate that sandwich and was working on them fries and got about halfway through them fries. I said, Chris, you want any of them? He said, no, because he biggie size is too. We both stuffed. So I left some fries on the table. You know why? I was full. I was full. Just read that book till you get something. Amen. But pick you out a portion every day and read the Bible. Let me tell you what it'll do. It'll keep you from sin. He said, thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. Hey, he'll keep your heart right. He'll keep you from doing things that you ought not to do. Keep you from thinking things that you ought not to think. How many of you have been saved a little while? How many of you have ever started to do something or react to a situation and a scripture pop in your head? That cannot happen if you haven't read it. Yeah. Amen. Amen. It's like your brain is like a computer. If you've read that book, it's in there. Yeah. You say, I can't memorize scripture. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. You ever had anybody ask you a Bible question? Yeah. And all of a sudden stuff started coming to you? Yeah. And they walked away and you were blown away with how smart you are. Yeah. Amen. I mean, I've had that happen to me. It kills me when people come up to me and say, can I ask you a Bible question? I'm like, oh, no. A lot of times I'll leave them and say, I'll get back to you on that. Amen. Because when they do that, it's always some off-the-wall, crazy something. You know, one of those names over there in Chronicles that you've read through, but there ain't no way you remember. It's always something crazy. But people come up to you and they ask you a question, and all of a sudden, Scripture starts popping in your head. You know why? It's in there. He said, thy word have I, say it with me, hid. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. That book will keep you from sinning. Amen. Let me say it again. That book will keep you from sinning. There's been days I have a temper. Well, not really, not anymore. I used to have a bad temper. But boy, I'd start to lose my temper with somebody and a scripture would come in my mind. Brother Williams back there grinning, he's seen it, been lost before, amen. He's seen me lose my religion a time or two. I'm glad you can lose your religion, but you can't lose your salvation, amen. Amen. But that book will keep you from sinning. It'll make you talk to your wife right. It'll make you love your wife. Amen. It'll make you be good to your children. It'll make you work for your money at work. Instead of robbing your employer. Are y'all listening? It'll make you do right. Why? Because it's the word of God, man. And it's powerful and it's quick and it's sharper than any two-edged sword. This book is, I remember reading one time in a book, I believe it was Dr. Ruckman, I believe, made a statement about a guy in New York City, said he set a Bible on the sidewalk and he put a hat over it and he was just a crazy guy and he's running around and around that hat going, it's alive, it's alive, it's alive. And somebody finally walked up to see what was under that hat that was alive and they picked it up and there laid that Bible. Amen. Can I just say to you this morning, it's alive. This book will keep you. I remember my mother, when I was in school, she bought me a Bible. I still have it. It's in my office at home. But in that book, in that Bible, she wrote who it was from and who it was to, all that kind of stuff. But under that, this is a little caption my mother wrote in my Bible. It said, this book will keep you from sin, and sin will keep you from this book. Amen. Amen. That's the truth. It's still the truth today. You know what? It's hard to read the Bible and sin at the same time. Amen. I think you ought to have it with you everywhere you go. I got one in my truck, got one by my bed, I got one to preach from. I'm telling you, man, that Bible ought to be a part of your life. Amen. Amen. If I could get you to read your Bible, we could stop a lot of that counseling back yonder in my office. Amen. Amen. Why? Because this book will keep you from sin. I tell you what else this book will do. It'll cause you to know your Savior. Jesus said in Matthew chapter number 11 and verse number 29, he said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Man, you ought to know something about your Savior. Hey, if he went so far as Calvary and shed his blood and died for you and rose again the third day, ascended unto the Father, and is sitting there right now making intercession for you, in other words, going to God on your behalf, man, the least you can do is learn something about this guy. Amen. Listen, I've been married to my wife. December will be 30 years. 30 years she's put up with me. She needs a trophy on our anniversary. Amen. Amen. She deserves a prize. We'll go. Jonah loves for me to go to Dollar General, our little grandson, and get him a prize. I'll get you a, go to, we'll go to Dollar General and get you a prize. Amen. But in 30 years, I've learned what she likes. I've learned what she don't like, which is most of what I do. Amen. I've learned what she likes. I've learned what she don't like. I know her habits. I tell you, I know more about her than she knows about herself. Why? I've spent 30 years with her. Man, if you've been saved any length of time, you ought to know something about the Son of God. Amen. You ought to know something about the Son of God. If somebody on your job or somebody at school were to ask you, hey, tell me about this Jesus, you ought to be reared back and ready and say, I'm glad you asked, brother. Hey, I can tell you anything about him you want to know. Why? Because I know him. How do you know him? This book right here tells me everything I need to know about the Son of God. It tells me about his love. It tells me about his compassion. Even tells me about his anger. And it tells me about his wrath. It tells me about how he deals with sin. It tells me about how he deals with salvation. It tells me about how he deals with every issue of life in that book right there. Four things that'll cure anything. Read the Bible. Read the Bible. It is amazing how little most Christians know. It's amazing how little most Christians know. I've been preaching before and preached from a certain passage of Scripture, whether it from Genesis to Revelation, doesn't matter where it is, and people will say things like, I've never saw that in the Bible. I wouldn't say that out loud. Amen. Yeah. I wouldn't admit that openly. What you're telling me is I've never read my Bible. Are you okay? Look at Psalms. Are you still in 119? Look at verse 103. Let's see if we can find it. Listen, reading this book keeps me from sin. It helps me to know my Savior, but look at verse 103. If I can find it. There it is. Watch this. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. I said this book, when I read it, it helps me to keep from sinning. It helps me to know my Savior, but it helps to keep me sweet. Yeah. I remember Jack Hiles used to say, hey, it's just fixing to get good, Charlie. I know, I'm kidding y'all. I know y'all got to leave. Listen, it helps to keep me sweet. Jack Hiles used to say, I read a psalm and a Proverbs every day. I read a psalm and a Proverbs every day. He said, Proverbs makes me wise and Psalms keeps me sweet. Amen. Man, as Christians, we ought to be sweet people. But we ain't. Some of the meanest people I know are Baptists. People in a bar get along better than people in a Baptist church. Are y'all listening to me? Had a preacher call me yesterday. It's hell by the half acre in my church, he said. Why? Mean bunch of Christians. You can't tell me they're in this book. You cannot tell me they're reading this Bible every day. Are you listening to me? Why? This book will make you sweet. This book will make you love each other. It'll do it, brother. It'll do it. This book will make you love each other. It has the power to do that. Four things that'll cure just about anything. Read your Bible. Read your Bible. I guarantee you, I'm preaching to somebody right now who hasn't picked that book up one time this week until you got up to come here today. And you probably had to hunt it then. We okay? Some of you don't even take them home. You just leave them in the pew because that's the only time you use it. Are y'all all right? I know it's probably a Sunday night message, but it's working pretty good on Sunday morning. we ought to read our Bible. Yes. Amen. It's a preacher. Everybody knows that. Well, why don't you do it? Yeah. I'm like Brother Ken Dean. What's your problem, man? We know what we ought to do. Well, we ought to just do it. If this thing will help me to keep me from sinning, if it will help me to know my Savior, if it will help me to keep me sweet and not be a grouch to my precious little wife, hey, I ought to do it. Amen. Amen. You ought to read your Bible. Why is it you don't have to make yourself read anything else? Y'all listen to me. I get that Quarter Horse Journal or I get that Bassmaster Magazine. Brother, I devour that thing. That Bassmaster Magazine comes in one sitting. I go from the front to the end. I don't read all the articles, but I look at all the pictures. And lust over all the new shiny bass boats that are in there. Amen. Help me, Jason. I look at that magazine. Are you listening to me? That thing comes in the mail. I'm walking down the driveway. Can I get a witness? Why can't you do that with this? Water, read our Bible. Preacher, we need to talk to you. Won't you just read your book? I don't mind talking to you, and I don't mind helping you. That's my job. But won't you just read your Bible? Try this first. Because chances are, when you come in my office, this is what I'm going to give you. And you got one yourself. Amen. Four things that will cure just about anything. Read your Bible. Watch this one. This is deep. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5 and verse number 17. 1 Thessalonians, the second shortest verse in the Bible. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse number 17. Are you ready? Here it is. Pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. Second thing that'll cure just about anything. Pray. Pray. He said pray without ceasing. That means we don't stop. We keep on praying. We keep on praying. Just because we pray today and the answer didn't come, we pray again tomorrow and we pray again the next day. Amen. We have been praying. How long have you been here, Brother Freddie? 16 years? 14 years. Since the day I met this guy, we've been praying for his dad. Since the day I met him, we've been praying for his dad. I kind of feel like in my heart he might be saved, but we're not sure. And we've been praying for confirmation on that thing for 14 years. You said, don't you get tired of it? Nope. Why? Because I've prayed before. And I've seen answered prayer before. Amen. Are you listening to me? Listen, the Bible does not say go soul winning without ceasing. We ought to go soul winning. We ought to witness. It doesn't say hand out gospel tracts without ceasing. And we ought to hand out gospel tracts. It doesn't say preach without ceasing. But it does say pray without ceasing. It doesn't even say tithe without ceasing. And we ought to do all those things. We ought to do all those things. It doesn't say work without ceasing. It doesn't say run the buses without ceasing. But it does say pray without ceasing. Why? Because therein lies the answer to everything you and I need this morning. I've got a little cousin whose tumor is growing again on the stem of his brain. Do you know what I did? As soon as I got the text message, before I called to comfort his little mother, I went to God and said, oh God, here we are again. It's growing again. God, the doctors can't fix this. He's been to Cincinnati. He's been to Atlanta. He's seen the best surgeons in the world. But God, he needs to see you. I got a God that can do this. Are y'all listening to me? Let me say it again. I've got a God who can do this. I just need to take him my request. What is it you need this morning? Have you told him about it? Are you listening? I wonder sometimes when I see, and I'm not trying to be mean this morning, but I wonder sometimes if some of you pray at all. It should be. It's okay. You don't have to shout right there. I wonder what your prayer life is like. I pray every single day. Several times a day. Y'all listening? It's how you'll start your day as you drive to work. God, watch over us today. Keep us safe. Y'all listening? Pray. Preacher, I don't know what we're going to do. I know what you ought to do. You ought to pray. Man, I could just go on and on and on this morning telling you the answers to prayers that we've seen. There sits Ashley Hofford, who shouldn't be sitting here. David should be sitting there alone, still mourning the death of his wife who died from cancer from head to toe. In her lap is a baby they said was not possible. Are you listening to me? Well, that was just luck. No, luck had nothing to do with it. That little baby girl's here because there's a little baby boy who got on his face three times a day and said, God, give me a baby sister. God, give me a baby sister. He didn't understand that it was impossible. He didn't understand that the doctors said that it cannot happen. He didn't understand that his mama had been burned up with radiation and chemotherapy and there was no way she could conceive and bear a child. But he understood that there was a God who could heal his mama from cancer and heard his little old prayers night and day. And he believed with all his heart that God could give him a baby sister. Hoop, there it is. Pray. Pray with all your might. Pray with all your heart. Pray. Pray. Guess who I talked to the other day? Brother Anthony Bennett. He fell off our roof a couple of months ago. I'm talking about 30 feet in the air, landed on his head, was in a coma. His son had already asked us about preaching his funeral. He was dying. He's coming home. Y'all hear what I said? He's coming home. His mind's as clear as a bell. Walking around, eating solid food. He'd already be home, but he's having some stomach issues. They get that cleared up, he's out of there, man. He's going to walk in that door. I'm talking about the man who should not be alive is walking through that door. You know what that is? That is an answer, a direct answer to my prayer. You know what it makes me want to do? It makes me want to pray a little more. Yeah, right. What time is it? Amen. There's more in this than I thought there was. Yeah, read your Bible. Preacher, I just don't know what to do. Read your Bible. Yeah. Preacher, what are we going to do? Pray. Amen, man, our country needs prayer. Amen. Man, we are in a flat-footed mess. Yes, sir. If we really knew how bad it was, we'd all be on this altar right now. Amen. It's really bad. Somebody said, well, it's going to turn around. Don't think so. No. I just be honest with you. I think the next big event's going to be us exiting. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. I'm looking for the rapture. Yeah. I had somebody stood right over there the other night. And what was we had? Was doing something. Anyway, somebody stood right over there the other night. And they had their Bible in their hand. And they said, preacher, have you seen the pictures of these FEMA camps that they've got on the internet? And it's like a concentration camp with barbed wire around the top. They said, what's that for? I said, it's for those who reject the mark of the beast, I guarantee you. Well, watch it get quiet in here again. I'm not a conspiracy theory, but they're there. They're for somebody. I don't think it's the Muslims because we love them. I don't think it's for the bomb-toting suicidal bombers. I don't think it is. Somebody said, she said, do you think we'll wind up in one of them? I said, no. Before that stuff starts, I got an appointment. Before that stuff starts, I'm checking out. Amen. Read your Bible. Pray. Pray. Your marriage needs prayer. Your children. You got plenty to pray about. Somebody said, preacher, when I get down to pray, I just don't know what to say. Come on. You got enough stuff to pray about. Amen. I have a hard time praying for y'all because I got so much junk. Amen. So what I do, I try to pray for you first and then I say, okay, Lord, that was the introduction. Now here's the meat of the matter right here. I'm a mess. Amen. Read your Bible. Pray. Pray. Go to Matthew chapter number 3. I'm going to hurry. I got to. I ain't got no choice. Matthew chapter number 3. Mama left early and she looked up here and gave me the eyeball. And I knew what that meant. You better be at that funeral on time, boy. Amen. Matthew chapter number 3. Look at verse number 2. Oh, look at verse number 1 so you'll understand what's happening. In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, say the next word with me, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Listen here, number three. I'm giving you a prescription this morning. I hope you'll feel it. Read your Bible, pray, repent. 1 John chapter number 1 and 1 John chapter number 1, verse number 9. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to cleanse us of our sins. Is that right? To forgive our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. I'll get it right in a minute. Hey, we ought to apologize to God on a regular basis. Let me say it again. We ought to apologize to God on a regular basis. We had a school teacher here sometime back, Sister Terry Cato. I love Sister Terry with all my heart. She's still my friend. They're not here anymore, but I love her. But she would say, Brother Freddie, you'll remember, every other word out of her mouth, I'm sorry. You remember that? And I got on to her all the time. I said, don't apologize all the time. You don't got to apologize for every little thing. And she said, oh, Brother Eddie, I'm sorry. Oh, Brother Eddie, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I said, man, stop doing that. Hey, but listen, God don't want us to stop doing that. God wants to hear us to repent of every little thing that we do. Amen. Amen. Repent. Man, we got to that horse sale yesterday and then run them horses through all day, kicked that dirt up in the arena. Man, by the time we left, Chris said, I feel like I need to go through a car wash. I said, me and you both. Man, you know how good that shower felt? That shower felt good this morning. That shower felt good last night. Listen to me carefully. Man, we ought to stay clean. We ought to stay clean. Listen, my truck is so dirty that I don't even want to wash it. I used to go to the Texaco thing up here and get my oil changed, and they wash it for you when they change your oil. I hadn't done it in, I'm ashamed. That truck ain't been washed in over a year. No, I changed the oil. Oil's changed, brother. Walmart. But they don't wash it. Listen, do you know what a job it's going to be? I parked beside a new Toyota the other day. Same color as mine, looked just like mine. I got out and I went, ooh. My truck used to look like that. My truck used to be that white. Now it's beige. Do you know what a job it's going to be to clean that thing up? But man, if I'd have just done that periodically, my truck would still look like that when I parked beside. Sometimes we get our lives and our hearts so dirty. We go so long without taking a good spiritual bath that you look at it and you go, it ain't worth it. It's got 135,000 miles on it. I don't care. I've learned to be comfortable with it like it is. You see, I didn't know how dirty it was till I parked it beside a clean one. I started just getting the clean one and try my key and drive off. Just make a little even Steven swap right there, amen? I'll take that one, all right? Amen. I didn't realize how black it was. I mean, I got used to it. I got used to it. I see the thing every single day. I wonder how many people have walked by my truck and went, that guy needs to wash his truck. Are you listening? Somebody had fooled with my bumper magnet and turned it upside down on my truck. Probably one of these young'uns around here. And I went to straighten that thing up or turn it around the right way. And when I pulled it off, it's on my tailgate of my truck. When I pulled it off and I looked what was under that bumper magnet and I thought, man, this truck is nasty. Because that bumper magnet was on there the last time I washed it. So it's still pretty and white and clean up under that bumper magnet. Man, you live with it every single day. You don't even realize how bad it is. So we ought to just make repentance a daily thing. God, forgive me. God, forgive me. Hey, we ought to do it with people too. Amen. We ought to do it with people. Pray, read your Bible, repent. Somebody said confession is good for the soul. No, it's great. Amen. We ought to have a confessional this morning. But not where we get in the closet and look through a knot hole and talk to a knot head on the other side. But one where we get in the altar and talk to a Savior who can really do something with it. Amen. One who can really clean it up. Four things cure just about anything. What was the first one? Read your Bible. What was the second one?
Pray.
What was the third one?
Repent.
Now watch this. Here it is. I'm done. Stay in church. Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 25. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. Forsake not the assembling of yourself. Listen, if church wasn't important, Jesus would not have started it. If church was not important, Jesus would not have started it. Listen, he didn't start the Ruatan Club. He didn't start the Pee Wee Ball. There ain't nothing wrong with them things, but they're taking place of what he did start. He didn't start the gym. He didn't start aerobics. He didn't start all these other things. He didn't start the hunting and the fishing. And he didn't start all these dance classes. And he didn't start karate. And he didn't start all these things that people get so wrapped up in that they forget the one institution that Jesus did start to save your life. There ain't no telling how many messages have come across this pulpit that would have helped you had you been here. There's no telling how much hell in your life you would have missed had you heard the preaching of the Word of God. God help them people who go to churches that don't preach. How shall they hear, the Bible said, without a preacher? We please God through the foolishness of preaching. We're going to preach till the cows come in. We're going to preach till Jesus comes back. Somebody said, you said you've got to hurry. Why are you preaching so long? Because this is more important to me than the funeral. I know where my cousin is. He's in heaven. Ain't nothing I can do to change that situation. But buddy, you're here. You're breathing. Stay in church. Make up your mind. You're not getting out. I don't care who makes you mad. I don't care who hurts your feelings. I've been here 20 years. I've had my feelings hurt some more times than you can shake a stick at. I just don't tell you about it. I ain't never went to nobody in church and said, you hurt my feelings. Think I'll fix me up a Facebook. Is that hard to do? I'll fix me up one of them Facebook accounts and get on there and tell you how many times my feelings get hurt. You a baby who needs a pacifier.
Amen.
Get over it.
Amen.
Are y'all all right? Let me say it again. Get over it. I need what's here. My children needs what's here. Amen. All three of my children, well, actually, they're sick. Hayden's got pneumonia and Todd's sick. But all my children, if it weren't for that, they'd all be right here in the service this morning. My son sang this morning. My daughter's sitting right there. I believe they're here this morning because we didn't jump ship when our feelings got hurt.
Amen.
You say, well, I'm going to find me another church. Somebody's going to hurt your feelings there too.
Amen.
You already know the hypocrites that are here. So just bypass the problems of getting to know people again.
Amen.
And put up with the hypocrites you got.
Yes.
I'll give you my best Joel Osteen right there.
Yes.
I run into people in Walmart, in different places, and I leave them my heart broke. Because I look at the mess that their lives are in. And I believe it all started when they got upset with somebody or me and they just quit on God. Not one instance, not one, and I thought about this long and hard this morning, Brother Freddie, and you can correct me, but not one instance have I seen people's lives get better. I can't think of one where God just, they quit going to church and they quit being involved in church and they just quit God altogether. Not one instance, Brother William, can I remember where somebody's life has just seemed to be blessed afterward.
Right.
It seems like it goes downhill every single time, and where it shows up the most is in the children.
Amen.
I run into a boy the other day that grew up in our church, and I looked at him, I went, wow, If I didn't know you so well, I wouldn't know who you are. And I'm being careful this morning. I don't want to offend anybody, but every now and then you need to be offended.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
We need to rub you the wrong way, make your fur stand up.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen.
Amen. I thought, dear God, I remember when that little boy was standing on this platform singing his heart out for the Lord.
Come on,
I remember when he was quoting Bible verses and testifying. By looking at him now, you wouldn't ever have a clue that he even knew who God was. But bless God, he ought to do right. No, his mom and daddy ought to done right. His mom and daddy ought to done right. They shouldn't have made their feelings their priority. Jesus said, on this rock I'll build my church. And that rock is not Simon Peter. That rock is what Peter said. Thou art the Christ. On this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Is hell prevailing against you? Faithfulness might help that.
Yes,
amen. Faithfulness might help that. Everybody can't preach. Everybody can't write beautiful songs like Levi does. Everybody can't sing and play like Sister Janice does. Everybody can't teach and preach like Brother Charles and Brother Freddie. But everybody can be faithful. Everybody be faithful. Miss Peggy sitting back there, she's my hero. I want to be just like her when I grow up. Never heard her sing a special. She's never played the piano. Don't think she's ever taught a class. But boy, I'll tell you one thing I can count on. If she's got helps in her body, she's right there.
Amen.
And she keeps my granny's phone lit up, wanting to know where I am, where I'm preaching. She keeps up with me. She knows where I'm at better than my kids do. Why? Because she's praying for her preaching. You don't know how much that means to me. I appreciate that more than the singing. She's faithful. She's faithful. There it is. Preacher, I don't know what we're going to do. Well, just watch Dr. Phil tomorrow. Maybe that'll help you. Call Oprah. Watch The View. If you can watch that without vomiting, something's wrong with you. Something's wrong. You jacked up from the floor up. Something's up somewhere. If you enjoy that, you got a bad spirit.
Amen.
What are we going to do, preacher? Things are getting bad. I'll tell you what let's do. Let's read our Bible. Let's see what God says to do. Let's pray. Let's take these issues to God. Me and my wife ain't getting along, preacher. Grab her by the hand. And say, let's get on our face and let's ask God to help us. Look what you've done with it on your own. Haven't you realized you can't fix it? But God can. If you'd let Him. Hey, pray. Pray. Repent. Maybe you say, well, preacher, I've been praying. Is there something in the way of that prayer? Is there something you hadn't come out with and told the Lord about? Is there something blocking them prayers? You got a ceiling? You pray and you feel like your prayers aren't going through the roof? Well, that roof is sin. Let's tear the roof off this morning. Let's break the glass ceiling. Let's get out of the box, man, where our prayers can be effective. Repent. Make up your mind. We're going to be faithful to church. It shouldn't be, are we going back tonight? I wonder how many of those discussions will happen here in just a few minutes in the car.
Yep.
Honey, we going back tonight? Some of you won't ask a question because you already know the answer.
Yeah.
Be faithful in church. Listen, man, you know what your children are getting this morning? They're getting the gospel. There's three other services going on right now. our children's church, our junior church, our teen church. Man, those guys work hard. They work hard to give your children what they need to live in this wicked world. And they do it faithfully, week in and week out. You want to make sure they're there like a clock a ticking.
Amen.
Somebody said, I'm not letting my kid go back to junior church. Brother Thomas yelled at him. Good. Good. Lady called me one day and said, my child will not be back to your church. That preacher scared them. I said, wonderful. Yeah. Hallelujah. I come to church that night, shook his hand, said, you're doing a good job.
Amen.
Preaching on hell ought to scare you.
That's right, preacher.
Amen.
Right.
Amen. Be faithful to church. Our marriages depend on it. You say, you think it's that? I could name you name after name and family after family that are in the toilet this morning. And it all started, because one common denominator in every one of them I'm thinking of, it started when they got out of church. Every one of them.
Amen.
Be faithful. Four things to cure just about anything. That's what the Lord gave me this morning. I hope it'll help you. Let's stand to our feet. Miss Janice, would you come, maybe you and Elizabeth, and sing us a verse of invitation. If we could this morning, let's just bow our heads all over the house. Nobody looking around, heads bowed, eyes closed. Listen to me carefully. If you're here this morning and you're not sure, 100% sure, that if you died today, heaven would be your home, you haven't got this thing settled in your heart about your salvation, I sure would like to pray for you. I wouldn't come to you, wouldn't embarrass you. We don't drag people to the altar here. That's not what we do. But I would like to pray for you. I really would. I'd like to pray for you that you'd get that thing settled in your heart. If that's you this morning, you're not sure about your salvation, if you'd like for me just to remember you when I pray, would you slip up your hand? Anybody? Preacher, I'm not sure. If I died right now, heaven would be my home. Just pray for me. God bless you. How about this, preacher? I needed that this morning. I've been trying to fix stuff myself. It seems like the more I mess with it, the worse it gets. I need to pray. I need to read my Bible. I need to confess my sins to the Lord. I need to be faithful in church. I'm missing stuff that I need. Pray for me. How about that? Hands all over the house this morning. Ought to be all of us. Thank you this morning. Let's pray together. Father, as we come before you again this morning in Jesus' name, Lord, we thank you for a good day. Lord God, it's always a good day when we can come together and sing about you and preach about you and worship you and kind of try to show you how much we love you. And I know it's a feeble effort, Lord, but we do love you. My Father, you've saw the hands. You know every heart. Lord, I pray you just deal with us accordingly this morning. Help us to be obedient in this altar call. Lord, the most important time of this service is when we respond, Lord, to what you've said to us. Well, Lord, just have your way, and we'll thank you. We'll praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.